It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey at 1:45. Where are we at in society? Zay will let us know. At 1:30, it is our season-long six-pack picks segment. I need to gain some ground on Chad, who retook the lead last week. And a mere minutes, we get you D-gens ready for the football weekend in betting with the great Brandon Lay. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. All right, as we get Brandon, we're just about ready to go with Brandon. Before we get there, I couldn't make this up if I wanted to, Trey. I was joking about this, but out of Frisco, Texas, Cowboys offensive lineman Ty Nesecki, the kid that went to Texas State, he spent last night in a local hospital after being taken by ambulance from practice because of a heat-related illness and will not play Sunday against the Chargers. That's one of the guys that was in line to back up Lyle Collins, so now Terrence Steele is kind of out there by himself even more. So now it's Terrence Steele, or you got to start shuffling, baby.
Still going to deny Connor Williams the chance to play right tackle, huh?
Maybe
we're going rookies from Texas State over Connor Williams now.
Yeah, McGovern. Can McGovern play tackle? That's another question we'll have to ask themselves.
We were told he could play everything from left tackle to tight end to fullback coming out of Penn State.
Unreal, man. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. We'll talk NFL. I'm sure we'll hit that Cowboys game and much more with the legendary Brandon Lang. Check out BrandonLang.com. He is also the host of the Best Damn Sports Betting Pod, period. Brandon, how are you?
Do you remember in the first Hangover movie?
Yeah.
When Bradley Cooper had to call the girl that they were going to marry. The girl that was getting married. And
yeah.
They took the guy to the bachelor party. And he has to call her up and he says, "We really effed up."
Yes.
After that call, they're in the desert and he's like, "Listen, we really effed up." I had a buddy send that to me and said that was the Texas athletic director calling the chairman or the whatever, president of the because I sense he goes, that was the call saying we really effed up wanting to move to the SEC. That was absolutely, isn't it amazing how we can get so hyped after just 1 week?
Yep.
And we're wrong. Like, we're wrong about Texas. We're wrong about their defense. We're wrong about their quarterback. I was wrong about everything that football team did against Louisiana Lafayette. That was just, wow. All right, they just Arkansas just to beat them. Arkansas crushed them. So I'm anxious to see how they rebound. I'm anxious to see how this quarterback plays. But that was the most shocking thing to me of the entire weekend. Not Oregon, because I told you on your show.
Yep.
That Oregon plus the points.
You nailed that one.
I said Fresno State was a hell of a football team, and we were getting value because they struggled against Fresno State. Well, that's a good Fresno State team. And did I expect them to win the game outright? No. But giving Oregon 14.5, 15 points was embarrassing. And I just wish I had hammered that game a little more than I did. But the most shocking thing was the lack of performance by Texas. So we'll see how they rebound this week.
Brandon, you shouldn't feel too bad because a lot of people here bought in a hook, line, and sinker too after that Louisiana game. Now, you did say last week that you're going to be betting hard on Texas in the Red River Shootout in a couple of weeks. Do you still feel that way about that game?
Hell no.
Fair.
Hell
no.
Yeah, Brandon, I think you said after week one, either take Texas or get away. Would you now just say get away?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I know when I walk into that strip club, I shouldn't go in the champagne room. I know I shouldn't. I know it's a bad move. I know it.
Yep.
And yet I still get sucked in. Well, I'm not doing that with Texas. No matter how good they look this week, I'm staying away. Although, everybody I talk to, the flip side of that, everybody I talk to loves Oklahoma over Nebraska. Everybody I talk to does not give Nebraska a chance. And I just have a feeling that Nebraska's going to go in there. Tulane was able to go in there and battle them to a 38-35 game. That's Tulane.
Mm.
That's Tulane. I got to believe Nebraska plus all those points can hang around and cover that number.
Yeah, that's an interesting. I've been looking at that one this week, too. 22.5 just feels like so much.
Yeah.
Even in Norman, the way that defense has given up points, I get what you're saying there, Brandon. Talking with Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com. Check it out. Alabama, Florida. Every time I see one of these lines with Bama, I just think, oh, Lord, lay it, Nick Saban and all that. But Florida kept it close last year. What do you think about these Gators and their ability to maybe keep it close with Bama?
I may hate myself. I may come on your show next week and say, what? I may be Bradley Cooper calling you guys on the phone saying, I really effed up. I may be saying that. But what has Bama really done? I can't pass up Florida getting 14.5, 15. It's the swamp. It's this kid's first true road game. Like you said, they played him tough next week, last year. I know I shouldn't do it. I know I shouldn't go in the champagne room, guys. I know I shouldn't do it. I'm going full bore with Florida here. I can't pass up a double digit underdog this early in the season with Bama. I don't think Miami of Florida, especially with the fact that Miami of Florida struggled last week and probably should have lost the game outright to Appalachian State, that devalues at Bama's win over them. And then last week they didn't play anybody. So I just think that it's much like Texas. We thought they were ready for the Super Bowl because they beat Louisiana Lafayette, and then we saw them going to Arkansas. I think Bama's going to struggle, and I'm going to take Florida plus the points.
The other most intriguing ranked matchup this weekend is Auburn at Penn State. The Nittany Lions favored by 5. It's a 53 over-under. Is there anything you like about this game?
I've said to you guys before, you know, last year I had Auburn, Bo Nix hit a hot dog vendor in the upper deck. The guy fell down, and I still think he's in the hospital. Bo Nix, you can't trust him. He's had some of his worst games on the road. Penn State's going all white. I don't know about you guys, but I love wearing all white. It looks fresh. It looks awesome when you go all white. I got to take Penn State minus the points here.
Likes Penn State. All right, Brandon, what else on the college side before we switch to the NFL? Anything else in the college game that you're loving on this week?
Michigan State. I think head coach Tucker's got a little hidden gem there. You know, going into Northwestern and not only beating Northwestern, they absolutely blew the doors off Northwestern. Nice little tune-up last week with Youngstown State. Now they're going down to Miami, and we're all hyped about Miami and all those starters back, but I guess the reality of the situation is it don't matter how many starters you got coming back. If you sucked last year, you might as well suck this year as well, and they have not looked good as well. I'm going to take Michigan State plus 6.5.
Nice.
Switching over to the NFL side of things, Brandon, before we ask about specific matchups, what do you like most about the NFL weekend?
I like over the posted total in Kansas City and Baltimore. I mean, listen, the bottom line. Bottom line, if Daniel Jones and Taylor Heineke can combine for 59 points, I got to believe Mahomes and Lamar can combine for over 54.5.
That's good
you
math.
Saw Derek Carr.
Yeah, I like that math.
You saw Derek Carr just shred the Ravens in the second half. If he was able to do that, what Mahomes going to do? What's Tyreek Hill going to do? What's Kelsey going to do? What's that offense going to do? And conversely, Baker Mayfield and Cleveland only have themselves to blame for not winning that game outright. Big second half fumble by Chubb, and then the punter can't even catch the punt and punt it, and they still put up 29 on them. So, for me, that game's going to fly over the posted total. The whole world is on San Francisco. I've said this on your show before. If you're an elite quarterback in the NFL like Jimmy Garoppolo, and you're going to go out with a porn star, she can't be some chubby Asian. Guys, I'm sorry. She can't. She just can't be a chubby. If you're a starting quarterback, one of the 32 teams in the NFL, and you're going to go and you're going to make the decision to go out with a porn star and film it, she better be elite, guys. She better be Jenna Jameson in her prime. She better be the hottest one out there, and he goes out with some chunker. Bottom line, I can't trust a guy like that on the road laying points. They didn't cover the number last week against Detroit, and I'll take Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia and that defense at home, plus 3.5.
Oh, that is intense, Brandon Lang breakdown right there. all right, Brandon, I'm a Cowboys fan. I need Dak Prescott to stay upright. I just read the story about another offensive line issue for this team. Tell me I'm missing something. Tell me Cowboys plus 3.5 actually feels good to you. Tell me wrong team favored. Tell me the Cowboys are going to roll, baby, please.
Remember the Family Feud when they would give an answer and you're watching it and you know it's the worst answer in the world. And the camera goes, good job, good answer. They go to the board. Eh! You're like, oh God, that answer was horrible.
Oh, no.
I just don't think, first of all, play over the posted total, because I do think that Dallas offensively is pretty special. The problem is, if you watch the Chargers play last week, every receiver is 6'7". Williams, Keenan Allen, I mean, they're huge. And with the injuries in the secondary and but now Lawrence is out on the D-line, Chargers coming home, I just think with the offensive line problems and it's a bad spot for Dallas. I know I want to say Dallas plus the 3.5, but I would feel more comfortable taking the Chargers and buying the half point and laying 3 than I would taking Dallas plus 3.5.
Okay. The Bills lost last weekend to the Steelers. They travel to Miami this weekend to take on the 1-0 Dolphins. You think Buffalo can beat Miami by the current 3-point deficit that Vegas is predicting?
Well, it's 3.5, and everybody I talk to loves Buffalo. Everybody I talk to loves Buffalo, and my feeling is this is the NFL. It's not that easy. Buffalo beat them by about 130 last game of the regular season up in Buffalo to close it out when they really didn't even need the game, and Miami no-showed. I guarantee it'll be a different story. Pressed with their defense last week at New England, forced a late fumble, probably going to lose the game outright. Tua didn't have to do much. They played to their defense. I just think Buffalo, a little hangover from the Pittsburgh game. I think Buffalo wins, but I think it's a field goal game. I'll take the home dog plus 3. And by the way, there were 6 home dogs last week. They went 4-2 with 3 outright wins, including the Raiders on Monday night. So you can never go wrong with home dogs in the NFL.
Home dogs in the NFL. Just a little side piece of advice there from Brandon Lang. All right, Brandon, anything else NFL-wise that jumps out?
No, that's it. Just the over in the Chiefs Ravens, 54.5. I can't get past that. That's the one that I would, I wouldn't say send it in, but that's basically walking into a strip bar in Vegas and she's getting off work and she sees you at the door and says, "Come on, let's go gamble." That's how easy that is. So I'd get you some of that one.
Hey, as far as the home dogs go, Brandon, the Colts are 3.5-point dogs at home to the LA Rams, who looked really good in Week 1. I feel like the Rams may actually be able to cover that, even though they are the road favorites.
I tend to agree with you there. It basically comes down to Carson Wentz versus the Rams defense. If Andy Dalton couldn't get it done on Sunday night, what makes you think Carson Wentz, who's just snake bit now, can get it done? I think it's a bad matchup for the Colts. No T.Y. Hilton. Russell Wilson had his way, and I think Matthew Stafford, if I had to play it, I would buy the half point and lay 3 for Rams.
There you go. Brandon Lang. Check out BrandonLang.com. And if you're into podcasts, and who isn't, he's the host of the best damn sports betting pod, period. Brandon, have a good week, man. Enjoy the games. We'll hit you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brandon.
Good stuff, as always.
Wow.
Interesting mental pictures all the way throughout.
That dude will make some analogies.
With Brandon Lang. Yes, double digits and double Ds and champagne rooms. It all comes together. It really does with Brandon Lang. And I'm sure the emails are being sent right about...
One or two.
Now. All right, we talk to Brandon every Friday about 105, and a really interesting week with college and the NFL. Brandon's leaning towards Penn State. He likes him at home. Brian Jones earlier in the show was talking about their linebackers and how good they are. Trey, it's interesting. In the pro side, when we talk to fantasy guys, the fantasy play is Ben Roethlisberger on the road, stay away from him. I learned that from J.D. Lewis years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
Drew Brees, too.
And Drew Brees was another one, right? Where, when they're out of their realm, you got to watch out. Bo Nix has such an opportunity here. It's a trust issue with me. And we'll make our picks coming up here. But do I trust Auburn to, A, go on the road with Bo Nix? And then, B, can I translate what I'm watching? My Auburn scoring 60. Right. I get it. But I've been watching SEC football long enough to know what those non-conference schedules can be. They have played nobody and nobody Tech. So what the heck am I supposed to take from that? And they're about to go into, you want to talk about an environment? If you've never watched a Penn State night game, a whiteout, please tune in at 6:30 tomorrow night. Get your ABC cranked up. DVR it if you're not going to be home. It is capital S special on that environment. And I don't know if Auburn can... I don't know if Bo Nix is equipped to get them in and out of there with a win.
Bo Nix's home and road splits are a fascinating thing to look at. In his career, at home, he's 20-1.
Wow!
64... I know, that's surprising. 64% completion percentage. His QB rating, which is a weird number in college versus the NFL, if I'm remembering correctly, is 147. On the road... Remember, 64% completion percentage at home.
Yeah.
54%.
Oof.
The touchdowns to interceptions number, which at home was 20-1, is 9-10.
That seems important.
And his rating is 105. So that's a drop of 40 points, too.
You said those touchdown and interception numbers like they matter. Like that might actually be an indicator.
A little bit.
9-10, is that what you said?
Yeah, 9-10 versus 20-1 at home.
That is awful. I've gotten to see the Auburn home, you know, vibe one time. It's an impressive place. It's a cool place to go see a game. But that is a huge, huge difference. So you can feel it there coming from Brandon, and I'm sure our other betting guy will talk about it later. And Brian talked about it earlier. It's just the rep that he's got, but I can't wait to see that ball game. That is going to be a great optic kind of game. These are the type of teams that should play more often. We need to force games like this more often, even if they don't want to play it. Trey, they need to be calling up teams like Penn State and Michigan State and Wisconsin every couple years and going, hey, you guys are going to Georgia next year. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know you're going to Texas? Yeah, you're going to Texas. Yes, USC is going to come see you in 2 years, whether you like it or not. We need to be forcing way more of these games.
Agreed. That's part of the reason why I'm excited to go to the SEC is because more of those games are going to happen naturally. So hopefully, and I'm confident this will happen because CDC has been so good at this, he continues to find compelling non-conference matchups that give Texas fans a cool home game non-conference 1 year. And the next year, they can travel to a cool college venue to watch those two teams square off away from DKR.
Yeah, hopefully it'll happen. And if we can expand multiple things. A, expand the playoff. That will help. B, is the SEC going to go to 9 conference games once Texas and Oklahoma show up? I think that could actually help things overall because it takes away one of those garbage non-cons that you're allowing the SEC to have now. They need to standardize all of that. If you standardize conference games at 9 and you expand the playoff, then I think we get tons more games like this.
Agreed.
Then there's more Auburns and Penn States to go around. There's more Oklahoma States and Boise. More Power Fives need to go to Boise, too. That not just Oklahoma State. We need to be making more Power Fives. Oh, no, you're going to go play on that blue field. You didn't know that? Yeah, you're going there next year.
I'm honestly a little surprised Oklahoma State is doing this. This is out of character for them.
Yeah, nobody should want to.
No.
No one should want to, but I love that you should have to. Certain teams should have to. Coming up in a few years, yeah, your team should have to go deal with that, and Boise should have to come to you too. All right, up next, we've wasted enough time. Let's make our Coors Light 6-pack picks. Trey took a lead in week one. I came back a little in week two. We will make our picks. We got 2 college games and 4 pro games. We're not even picking Longhorns or Cowboys this week. We'll tell you about that and make our picks coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Rolling through a Friday. Isaiah Collier is producing. This will be the first song I've not recognized. Isaiah, what do you got? Uh-oh.
Tanya Tucker.
Are you going cool spooky white chick on us?
A little bit. This is Helen Reddy.
What? Oh, my God.
Helen Reddy.
Man, I love Isaiah Collier so much. You really just pulled Helen Reddy out?
Oh, man, this is the jam.
Let me tell you what. When I was a little kid, have you ever seen, I don't know why you would have, because you were way too, you were not the right age, but there's a Disney movie from way back called Pete's Dragon. Did you ever see Pete's Dragon? Okay. When we were growing up, I'm single digits when that movie comes out. High-level Disney animation. The whole movie's real, but the dragon is an animation. High-level stuff. It's like Roger Rabbit before Roger Rabbit. But what's her name? Helen Reddy? Yes. She was the mom in there. Oh, my God. I loved her. Every word she said, every song she sang. And I hate musicals, too. That's the other thing you got to know about me. I can't stand a musical, but there's songs in there. When that woman would sing them, oh, I'm in. I'm ready. Helen Reddy, big, beautiful smile on her. Love that woman.
She did I Am a Woman. And from checking out a picture of her back in the early 1970s, I see what you're talking about.
Right.
Not afraid to show a little sternum back then.
Yeah. There you go. Give me a still sternum. There we go.
I know the sternum confused you until you saw the picture.
Yeah, there you go. She's that short-haired, 70s, hot. I can sing hot. I'm talented, hot.
I'm not going hot.
No, all that stuff makes it hot.
A little bit of a jaw.
All that gets you there.
She brings a Leno jaw.
Brings a little bit of a Leno jaw.
It's not as pronounced up front.
Things nobody's ever said. You know what really attracted me to her? The Leno jaw.
Hey, look, you've already said numerous times on these airwaves that you're a big horse face guy.
Sugar cubes, baby.
He's all about the sugar cubes.
Sugar cubes, man. The more teeth, the better.
So based on that, though, I can see how you would find her a little bit more attractive.
Yes, right. She has a little bit of that little longer face.
Yeah.
Got the nice, big, beautiful smile. I mean, I'm a smile addict. That's what it is. The bigger the smile, the more teeth, the more I like it. Love it. Love the big smiles. Helen Reddy, that's it. That may be the best spooky white chick curveball we've had from Isaiah Collier. He's thrown some Stevie Nicks at us. He's thrown some other things, but that's probably the best one so far. Your parents would be so proud. Helen Reddy.
Yo, my pops literally just called me.
Does your pops like Helen Reddy?
Yo, he likes all music.
This is so good, man.
For sure.
He knows, man. She's smooth.
What's up, Coach Collier?
Yes, Coach. I've never met your dad. I should meet you.
Oh, great.
I should meet your dad just to talk music. A little bit of basketball, because he knows. He'll be insulted if I have to make him talk basketball. I want to have him talk music.
He'll take you some places.
He did some
especially with his music.
He did such an incredible job raising you musically. That's just amazing. All right, we've wasted enough time, Trey. Let's do the Coors Light Silver Bullet six pack picks. Trey got an early lead. I came back last week with a pretty good one, so I believe it is 7-5. We'll have the scorekeepers double check over the weekend. I think it's 7-5 me in wins going into this thing. So you want to go pro or college at the beginning here?
Let's start college.
All right, two college games to deal with, and we'll start in the half Big 12 with Virginia Tech and West Virginia. They are in the mountains. West Virginia by 2.5. You want first or second on this one?
I'm going to go first here. I feel like this is the game where people wake up to the fact that West Virginia is decent this season. Obviously, they're playing at home against ranked competition, and they are the favored team, too, and I think they win by that more than that posted total.
It is a crazy place to play at West Virginia. I will be twice that crazy and say Virginia Tech is going to be, I don't know if they win it, but I think it's going to be super tight, crazy. I'll say Virginia Tech's better than people think they are, and I'll go with the Hokies.
So we what's got a the line again? 3.5?
2.5.
2.5, okay. Yeah, I think West Virginia wins by at least a field goal.
All righty. We'll go different on that one. How about Auburn at Penn State? The white out. Brandon Lang says it's all about laying the points on Penn State. This is me first?
Yes.
Woo! Here's the other moment. How dumb do I want to feel? You know what?
I know, you're going to feel dumb either way.
I am. You know what? Call me an SEC homer, if you will, but I'm going to sleep better if I'm on Auburn's side of this game. Can't stand Penn State, never have. Then they gave me extra reasons years ago to really not like them. I'm going to take Auburn in the +5. I think Penn State wins the game, but I'll say they'll win it like 2 or 3 in a close one. I'll say Auburn can make it a fight and Tank Bigsby, so I'm going to take Auburn. +5.
I need Penn State to win this one by a touchdown. I think what they showed us against a physical Wisconsin team week one of the season was no joke. They are not afraid defensively, and I think Sean Clifford has turned a quarter as a signal caller, too. Give me the Nittany Lions to win by a touchdown.
All right, two differences in college. I like that. Let's go to the pros, Trey, and start with the great optics. Let's go black and silver at black and yellow. Raiders at the Steelers. Steelers by 6 is the number. You first.
I'm not buying the Raiders fool's gold from last week. Give me Pittsburgh to win this one by 7-10.
Going Pittsburgh with a lot. I sit every Sunday and I watch those Steelers. This is going to be a Steeler win, but it's not going to look like that. Bar fight, I'll take the Raiders. I'll believe in Derek Carr. I know it's on the road. I'll believe in Derek Carr to keep it close enough. That Steeler offense is ugly, ugly. So I will go with the Raiders if I'm getting plus six.
Expect to see a big game by Najee Harris that will help them win by that touchdown plus.
That's what my wife's looking forward to. She hopes you're right on that one. All right, how about Rams at the Colts? This one's interesting. Colts trying to bounce back and look better. Rams trying to just keep it going. -3.5 is me?
Yeah.
I'll go with the road guys here. I think the Rams are that much better. I'm going to lay the points on the road. I hope I don't feel stupid afterwards, but Indy's just a little clunky for me right now. Don't trust Wentz against the defense. I think Aaron Donald's going to crack him in half. I'll go Rams 3.5.
This feels like one of those games that's so obvious. I'm tempted to go the other way. Indianapolis starting 0-2 with two home games to open the season.
Yeah.
That's hard to fathom, but it is Carson Wentz. Their offensive line is still on the mend. And the Rams did show you that they are a legit Super Bowl contender this year, at least through 1 week. I say that trend continues. I'm picking the Rams to cover by the 3.5.
Did you see the look on Sean McVay's face when he watched Stafford throw some of those passes?
He was so happy.
Christmas morning, man. Yeah. It's just like, oh my God. It's like an artist. He's like an artist that has been painting on notebook paper, and then somebody handed him a canvas.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God. Now I can really make my ideas come to life.
Yeah, it's like an adoptive parent, somebody who adopts kids and brings them in, finally getting that one kid that he knows is going to do something
right.
With the system that's in place at home.
That is it, man. All right, so we'll both go with the Rams there. All right, here's the game I don't even want to think about, much less pick, but San Francisco at Philadelphia. Whoa. The Niners -3 on the road. This is you first?
Yeah, this is me first. I'm taking San Francisco. I think San Francisco wins this game by something in the 6 to 12-point range, let's say, which obviously means that they do cover. I think the jury is still out on the Eagles, even though they looked impressive. It was against the Falcons last week. And San Francisco, they are a dual-threat attack on offense. Debo Samuel being back is a big deal for them. And even though they do lose Mostert for the season, Elijah Mitchell is legit. Watch for Trey Sermon to get some more opportunities as well. Jamichael Hasty, obviously, down near the goal line. Give me the Niners to win by more than the 3.
This game's just gross. We need a new rule that says I'm not required to pick a game between two of certain teams in this league.
That's true.
I need to get the NFC East teams, the Packers and the Niners, we need to put them in a group and say if those two teams play each other, I don't have to pick the game. But that may be later. So, this is just absolutely sickening either way. I'm not rooting. I guess I'm supposed to root for San Francisco because Philly is in the division and all that stuff, but I'll actually oppose you again on this one. I'll say Philly.
All right.
Something in me, because I'm getting +3 with a home team, and I'm not sure if I trust San Francisco with those injured running backs. I'll take Philly. Let's just move on.
Okay.
This one's interesting. Tennessee-Seattle, a bit of an interesting game here. I'll pick first on the last one. Seattle at home, -6.5. And I'll fall for it, Trey. I will say Tennessee. I'll take Tennessee +6.5. I think it's an easy game to say lay with Seattle because of how good they looked in week one. Tennessee was so clunky.
Yeah.
I get it all, but with 6.5 points, I know they're a road team, but I'll take Tennessee.
I'm with you here. I think that we obviously are prisoners of the moment. That is especially the case in the NFL where things swing so hard from 1 week to the next. Tennessee is not this dumpster fire that everybody's making them out to be after one bad game versus Arizona. They will bounce back this week. I don't know if they win the game ultimately, but I do think they keep it closer than that 6.5.
Yeah, I think it's 3 or 4 points for Seattle.
Sure.
Seattle by field goal.
And I could see Tennessee winning too, by the way, which obviously if it's a 3 or 4 point win the other way.
So we've got differences on 4 games. We'll see if that matters in the overall standings this week. We'll go the same on 2 of those picks. Thanks to Coors Light for being such a great partner of ours. Speaking of the good folks at Coors Light. Remember, Longhorn Game Day, brought to you by Coors Light. Fires up! You'll probably need a Coors Light at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Bevo Boulevard and at 17th and San Jack with the Texas Tailgarden. Keep it hydrated tomorrow. Water, Coors Light to start your day.
Taking the kids to the game tomorrow night.
Yes?
That should be fun. Me, my mom, so grandma, and then the two little ones because Justine's going to be out with some friends tomorrow night.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Does that give you the safety valve where grandma can take them home and you get to stay for the rest of the game?
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to stay for the rest of the game. I may try and invite myself over to Kevin's, or maybe I'll go watch the second half at Aussie's, like something closer to the station, because we are going to be doing a post game from 11 or 11:30 all the way until midnight.
Ooh, I'm about to say night crawlers. Yeah, nightcrawler time. How was last week?
Last week was great. It was actually a very civil discussion being had through the caller line as well. And Kevin and I try and stay fairly level-headed about things in our analysis. So it was a lot of fun. But we also went like 30 to 45 minutes over the allotted time last week. We may be making up for that this weekend. We may be doing a 15-minute post-game show. Maybe not 15. That might be a little bit short. But it's not going to be an hour and a half again, I can guarantee you. Even if they lose, Chad, it may be a 10-minute post-game at that point, because I'm not even going to want to talk anymore.
Y'all are going to have like Dr. Eckert calling in. Did you guys just talk about me in 12 seconds? What the heck was that?
That's right.
What is that?
I promise, Dr. Eckert, we got the brain vault mention in.
Got those brain vault going on. Trey and Kevin will bring you that post-game show 1 hour after the game is done with Texas and Rice. Of course, it is a 7 o'clock kick this week. All right, coming up at 2:05, if you are slightly degenerate and you're into the gambling side of things, Sammy P is going to try to help you out. He admits he did not have a good week last week. He's going to try to bounce back. Sammy P is a betting analyst for Nesson. He's the host of the Chicken Dinner podcast, and he'll join us at 2 every Friday. That is coming up at 2 o'clock. Up next, though, our producer, Isaiah Collier, is taking over Where Are We At in Society for the day. If he gives me like a full bio of Helen Reddy, that's going to be crazy. I'm not sure if that's what he's going to do. He'll find some stories for us, and we'll go through that. Plus, at 2:30, it's Why Today Matters, a little September 17th, a little September 18th as well. I saw a crazy cool anniversary that made me feel like a kid again. We'll get to that. Hope you're having a good Friday. This is The Horn. You are having a good Friday. It's Shirts and Skins. Isaiah Collier producing today. It's a great song.
It sounded like a Stevie Wonder song to start. My favorite Christmas song of all time.
It's got that vibe to it, but I don't think it's Stevie. This is Earth, Wind, and Fire, isn't it?
Okay, Chad.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Got it. Cool.
Told you. He's a freak with this. There's sometimes that I'm like, there's no way he's going to know this one. And he rattles it off, no problem.
Sometimes there are songs that make me think of the 70s, and I get sad. This is the opposite. This is the kind of song that makes me think of the 70s, and I think, I wish I was there. I wish I was in Studio 54 with that famous person and that famous person and all those famous drugs. I wish I was hanging out with them.
Well, one of my big regrets in life.
Shining Star, right? Shining Star?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Shining Star.
One of my big regrets in life has to do with something that pertains to this style of music and what used to happen at parties where dudes were on stage playing this sort of funk, where you get the dance line forming and people would just go down the line dancing with everybody clapping and dancing along. I had that opportunity. The Soul Train line. Thank you, Zay. Had that opportunity at an Aloe Black show in Chicago. I think it was at Lincoln Hall, and I got scared and I decided not to do it. And I regret it to this day.
You got the funky dance fear?
Yeah. I wouldn't have been very good, but I would have gone. But that's part of the point of dancing. Is not caring anymore what anybody else thinks. Shake your thing like you know how to and have fun. And at the end, if you're getting laughed at, well, it may hurt a little bit, but at least you went through that Soul Train dance line, Zay.
There's a high probability I would get laughed at an Aloe Black show doing some dancing, but I would do it anyway. One, because I don't care, and two, because I dig Aloe Black.
What would your dance be down the line?
Oh, I don't know. It'd be terrible. It'd be awful. The only dance I ever did was, I refer to it as the totem pole. I would just stand on the dance floor with a drink and just put the arms out, and then hopefully there was an attractive woman willing to dance nearby and that people would look and go, oh, look who that guy's with. And that was it.
So it was like the inflatable deal outside of a mattress store, kind of.
Exactly. It looked like
I was stationary.
It looked like I was selling some Sealy Posturepedics. Hey, do they have a deal on beds over there?
Hey, Chad's looks like there's a going out of business sale near Chad on the dance floor.
Trust me, when I'm on the dance floor, a lot of stuff goes out of business. There's not much happening.
Don't feel bad. Part of the reason why I didn't go down the dance line is I'm like, I don't know how I can do a twist all the way down the dance line. That's not going to work very well either.
Yeah, that's the only one, right? That's the only one. Yeah, I'm in that flock of white people heading to the dance floor when a twist song comes on. Oh, we can twist. Here we go. Let's do it.
All right. There's always a good first time to try the Cabbage Patch. Going to try it down the dance line here.
You know who they say is hardcore? Chubby Checker. That guy's hardcore. That's who that guy is. All right. Remember, the RBKD guys, they're a little more hardcore than me, certainly. Rod, Kevin, they're going to be out at the Craft House Kitchen in San Marcos. Craft House Kitchen and Tap in San Marcos. Also, Jeff Howe's going to be coming by. Expansive food and beverage menu, all kinds of cool specials. They will tell you all about it coming up at 3. You can also go to hornfm.com for more information. All right, with Isaiah Collier producing, that means he's in charge of where we at in society. Let's see where we're going here, kids. Come on.
Where are we at in society today?
Where are we at in society? Brought to you by Pest Wranglers. They are looking to hire some employees right now. You can find out more by emailing Steve. He is the owner of the company. He's out in the field with you every day for these great opportunities that include so many really good benefits at info@pestwranglers.com. What's up today, Zay?
All right, fellas. So one of my favorite television series is FX American Crime Stories. Do y'all know of those?
No.
They always do a famous, scandalous American classic story. They've done the O.J. Simpson
yes.
trial.
Yeah.
They did the Versace one where
okay.
Versace, how he got killed and whatnot and who killed mm-hmm. him. So,
and they do it as like movies or series or what?
Series.
As a series. Okay, yeah. So I think I watched the O.J. one. Is that the one with, what's his name?
Cuba Gooding
David
is playing
Schwimmer.
O.J.
Yes, and Vance, what's his name? Not Timothy, what's his name? Vance, the one that played Johnny Cochran. Somebody B. Vance. What's his first name? Courtney B. Vance. Thank you. He was great. Schwimmer was Kardashian. I watched that.
Travolta.
One.
Okay, yeah. So how'd y'all feel about Schwimmer being Kardashian? Accurate? Nah, yay or nay?
I thought he was all right.
He was surprisingly good because I hadn't seen him in a ton of more serious roles before.
I'm a Friends guy. So I'm going to be a little more of a fan of his. But yeah, I'll say the same thing. I was worried that he would just be Ross to me the whole time, but I thought he did a pretty good job.
See, that's the thing with me. It was hard for me not to see Ross
yeah.
from Friends.
It's understandable.
And I don't think he has the complexion that Kardashian did. Like, I'm big on that. Like, you have to look the part.
I got you.
You have to talk like the guy. If you want to be that guy, you got to do it to the fullest. So Cuba Gooding as O.J. Simpson, a little suspect.
That was tough. That one was tough for me in that series where I was, oh, I don't know if I can quite get there.
Now, let me ask you guys this, because obviously going full-on blackface is just ignorant and something that should never happen. Maybe in the form of satire to make fun of people who are that stupid, but is there a version that Schwimmer could have done, and I can ask this as an Armenian, in trying to look more Armenian, because I agree with you, the skin tone is not where it needed to be for Kardashian, who has those Armenian roots. Is he allowed to go to the tanning bed a little bit more, to use a little bit of bronzer to get closer there?
There was an episode where Ross went to the tanning bed. Tanning booth. Remember that? Where he got a little too...
See, this is why we can't buy David Schwimmer as Kardashian on top of the skin tone thing. The fact that everything goes back to Friends.
That's funny. Or you just cast Matthew Perry and move on. It could have been perfect. It would have been great. No.
Matthew Perry, not a good casting job in anything in 2021.
I think we interrupted Isaiah. Were you headed somewhere else with this?
Hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay.
So, in the new one, they're doing the Bill Clinton impeachment.
Oh, okay.
I want to ask y'all a couple actors playing the famous people in
all
this
right.
scandal.
Love
right.
this.
Hit me.
All right. Clive Owen as Bill Clinton.
Clive Owen.
I love Clive Owen. Yes, I'm all in on that. I love Clive Owen.
Wow. I don't know. I'm going to have to see it. I'm not sure. I'm concerned about who's playing Lewinsky. Do we know?
Oh, yeah. We got Beanie Feldstein. She's young. She was in the movie Booksmart, which is really good.
She kind of looks like her.
Right?
And she's a good actor, too.
She kills it.
Okay.
I like that one. I like that one.
When does this one hit? Is it started yet?
It just started. Now, the reason I'm also asking this because y'all remember Paula Jones.
Yes. Oh.
Now, she's pissed off because she thinks that she wasn't portrayed the right way by Anna Lee Ashford.
Anna Lee Ashford. I'm about to look up Anna Lee Ashford to find out.
Anna Lee.
Because remember, Paula started out with...
Alford? Anna Lee Alford?
Yes. Or at Ashford.
Anna Lee Ashford? Let me see.
A-N-N.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh. Yeah,
she's upset with that?
I'd be happy with that if I was
now,
Paula.
Now, again, we don't know how... the acting was, because if Clive Owen doesn't have Bill Clinton's voice, now, then that might take away everything for me.
Now, do we know if she's pre-nose mad or post-nose mad? Because that's key here, right? She had a big, I mean, that.
Come on, man.
I'm just saying. I'm just asking a question.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
It's a valid question because you do have to use a prosthetic if it's pre.
Because the Bill Clinton issue would have occurred way before she had plastic surgery, right?
Correct.
So I'm wondering, is she sitting there with the new confidence of the nose, of her post-op nose, thinking, well, she can't play me. It's like, well, she's not playing you now. She's playing you then. She's playing old nose you.
That's fair.
Right? To go Spaceballs, it's Princess Vespa, but... the old nose.
Can I take a guess on Hillary Clinton?
Go ahead.
Jonah Hill and drag.
Come
skinny,
on.
Skinny Jonah Hill and drag.
I knew you were about to go to a male actor. I knew you were about to do that.
No, it's actually a legend. A legend. Edie Falco.
Wow.
That's an interesting call. Edie Falco is a great actor.
Oh, she's amazing.
She is a great actor.
I was thinking,
and you need the best actor to be the Clintons.
For some reason, I was thinking Kathy Bates as you were starting off, because I thought, well, Kathy Bates can pull anything off, so she could probably do it. But that's what's weird about those series.
She pulls it off in terms of the look.
You're just playing these iconic folks. Man, it's so tough to do. Back to the OJ one real quick. I thought the star of that whole thing was it Sarah Paulson that played Marsha Clark? I think that's her name.
She
is
from American Horror Story.
Correct.
Yeah.
She's a great actor.
Yes, she is.
By the way,
she plays Linda Tripp in this.
Does she really?
Yeah, she does.
Oh, wow, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sarah Paulson?
Yeah.
She wearing a fat suit?
Yes.
Okay.
Kills it.
Okay. All right.
She goes Nutty Professor Linda Tripp.
I guess we did ask about David Schwimmer going bronze face with the Kardashian. I guess a fat suit's allowed here.
Dude, Paulson is an acting monster to me. I love watching her work. And she was great as Marsha Clark. If I'm Marsha Clark, I am applauding that casting. That was well done. That's what you want. If you're an iconic person, but then they've cast somebody that's better looking than you are, that's what you want. That's what Paula Jones is worried about. Maybe that's what it is. Paula Jones is looking at this girl thinking, hey, come on now.
Okay.
Help me out a little bit.
Okay. I'm sorry.
What?
There was some real potential here with Sarah Paulson. They didn't fat suit her enough.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
Let me see. Looks too good. Can you show me a picture of her supposedly as Linda Tripp? Is Linda Tripp going to love this? Well, look at
that. It's empty. That is not fat suit enough.
You know what? From the one over there from a distance is not bad.
I'm talking about this picture right here.
Yeah, I got you. That one's a little Doubtfire-ish right there, the one you just showed me. But from a distance, it's not bad. I think I might be happy as Linda Tripp there. I think Linda Tripp might be happy deep down.
All right, before we get to break,
yes?
Shirts and Skins biopic, who plays you two?
Such a great topic.
All my life, the only one people have mentioned is Kevin Bacon, so we'll go with Kevin Bacon for me. Kevin Bacon with this hair, he would nail it.
John Kitna, perhaps?
Kitna is another one, yeah. Kitna.
Cast sports stars as actors.
I don't know if Kitna can act well enough, so I would still lean towards KB.
I've heard a couple different people over time, too. Paul Bettany is one. The guy who played Roger Maris in the
That's the one
movie
I always
61,
think of.
And Barry
the one,
Pepper.
Yes, he's the one that played Dale Earnhardt in that movie. I think him, The Paul Bettany's not bad. I'm a Marvel guy, so Bettany as Vision is a favorite of mine. But I think that guy, I think Pepper's a little better for you.
And then there's also a guy who plays like usually the second or third in command in U.S. military movies. I can never remember his name, but I think he and I look pretty similar, too.
That is fantastic.
What about you, Zay? Who's playing you?
Yeah, what's the casting?
I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but Maurice Chestnut's a little older now. But
Maurice Chestnut, that's what I'm talking about. Nice play.
Yeah, Maurice Chestnut. He's a little older now, but yeah, he could sit in this chair and pull it off.
Okay, Maurice Chestnut back in the day.
Okay, Linda Tripp.
Hey, you know what? Then that's where Isaiah would sit back proudly, just like I would with Kevin Bacon going, yeah, we got a guy that we got a guy that's taking me to another level.
Yo, Morris would look at the script and be like, I have to pack on 50 more pounds. What?
And then he's like holding up the script. Excuse me, does that say neck pillow? Does that say neck pillow? Is that what that says?
I can maybe do fanny pack, but neck pillow?
All right, Isaiah Collier, producer today, bringing us Where We At in Society. Look out for that FX, right? FX series?
Yeah.
On the Clinton impeachment, the new one that's out there. That's going to be interesting to see. That's some interesting casting. All right, coming up, you don't have to worry about casting with this guy. He is the legit, genuine article. He is Sammy P., the betting analyst from Nesson, the host of the Chicken Dinner podcast. Didn't have a good week last week, but we can all relate to that. He's going to try to bounce back for you coming up on the Horn.